Everybody, welcome to History Through Art Week 7 in this test preparation week. So as you have been anticipating, History Through Art has switched to Wednesday to give you an extra day of test preparation. And in the name of this test preparation exercise, there are some questions that have arisen. And one of them is facts, anchor fact help from Mr. Powell. Everybody has the timeline, so you should at least have all of that basic information, but I realize that I may have inadvertently not give you everything that you need. So let's go ahead and get anchor fact number 7 for everybody. So let me share my desktop and go back to anchor fact number 7. And I'm going to go ahead and type the answers on the screen in order to make them happen as quickly as possible here. If you know the answers, that's fine. If you don't, well, here's your chance to write it down. Okay, so we have terrorists, and we have what destroyed the World Trade Center? Okay, when? 9/11. 2001, September 11th, where? New York City. It's hard to fit those all in the right amount of space. Let's see if I can get them like that. Okay. And finally, so what? We live in the chapter in history known as the War on Terror. Okay, so that is what's going on today. If you want to know what the President of the United States has the most headaches concerning, it's this. If you want to know what people are thinking about and worried about with regard to the world in all different countries, it's this. In an America-centric world, there are people who are trying to prevent the United States from having the influence that it has, in particular over their part of the world, which is called the Middle East. Okay. Questions or comments about that? We will have one more chance tomorrow to go over anchor facts. So don't panic if there is another question looming, because tomorrow is dedicated to test prep. Today is dedicated to history through art as a little bit of a break. So I don't want to spend too much time on test prep today, but leaving that on the screen for the moment, Henry and Wyatt have a follow-up, a question about test prep. So go ahead.
It is the ninth question in the upper elementary.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, what? I'm confused. Is the answer to the question?
Well, the answer. No, the answers we'll talk about tomorrow. If you don't know what the question means, that's what you should be asking me about. So, what is it that you're not sure what the question means?
I don't know how to answer it.
You don't know how to answer it. Okay. And Mom and Dad can't help you figure that out?
Yeah, Mom was actually the one who got me to ask this question.
Okay.
She looked at the notes and said, this might be it, but also this, what you are might be right too.
Okay, read the question.
What kind of government did the people of Europe create after the fall of Rome? Since when has this been normal for the people around the world? The part I have trouble with is the first.
Okay, so I will tell you where to find that answer. That answer is upper elementary, Roman numeral 2, life in Europe's major countries. Part A, and you will see a title and it will give it away. Roman numeral 2, life in Europe's major countries, circa 1492, part A, and you will see that the title gives it away. And then you will probably recognize that the anchor facts are required for the second part of the question. Rolly, last one, then we get to the art. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what, you know when you have to do the test?
Are you asking me when you need to do the test?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't need to do the test. It's up to your mom and dad to choose whether or not you do the test.
But my mom was wondering if we had to do it.
It's up to you. This is homeschooling. So it's up to you. Mr. Powell says that it's a good idea for you to try, but it's possible that it's not the right exercise for you, and I don't know you well enough to be able to say. So the test is provided, and you guys at home decide what to do with it. Okay? But my recommendation, Rolly, is this. If you can't do the tests at a certain level, then you're probably not ready to go to the next level. So that might not be important to you right now, but that's for the future. That's the measure. That's how we know whether or not you are ready to go to the next level, is whether or not you can do the tests at a certain level. Okay, so that's why it's a good idea to get working on the tests. All right, now we are going to go to art. So everybody take a deep breath here, and we're going to wait for this student, Christopher, to come here. Well, I didn't want all that to be given away because I like to do the first impressions. I think we have a visitor today, so I'm just going to give him a chance to join up before we do our first impression. So let's see if that can happen. Otherwise, our first impressions will be interrupted by the process of welcoming somebody new. So I think this is the best approach. Let's see what we can do. Let's just be patient here. Let's see if this guest can finish up. Do-do-do-do. So, I already have. So, let's see here. I don't want to have too much dead time on the air. So, I'm going to guess that Christopher's having trouble with the audio, as people often do when they first join. So, I can't wait forever. So, I guess we're just going to have to try to do our first impressions without it being disrupted. I'll try to manage that as well as possible. Okay, everybody, let's take a look at our image. And as usual, you know, what you're doing here is you're just trying to notice what you notice, right? Pay attention to your own reaction to the painting. So let's see here. Here we go. Christopher, we're doing first impressions in history through art, so just take a look at this image and hold on for a second.
Okay.
All right, so our first step in looking at a painting that shows us something important about history is simply to record what our reaction is to that painting and to talk about it and see what it is that reveals about ourselves and about the image and our experience of it. So go ahead. Anybody who would like to can raise their hands. And so let's get started with Sigourney, please.
I'm an really drawn to the lady on the white horse.
You're really drawn to the lady on the white horse, right. And Patrick was too, so that's interesting. I think one of the most interesting things in this painting is, who is everybody drawn to? The artist has created such an interesting scene with so many different characters. And he's, in a way, I find this painting so fascinating in a lot of ways. One of them is, which person grabs your attention? I find is kind of an interesting puzzle. So thank you, Sigourney. So you're drawn to the lady on the horse. Rosetta, what about you? What's your reaction?
I'm drawn to that guy on the black horse and the lady on the white horse.
The black horse and the white horse. So it's almost like two characters and two horses, and you feel kind of split in your attention between them. Interesting. Okay. So, Nemo, go ahead. What's your reaction?
I think it's like the other picture. It's similar.
In what regard?
Like the three main characters.
Oh, how interesting. So that is a good observation, Nemo. Nemo says that this painting resembles our last painting in that it has three main characters. Now, I think that's worth pursuing just a little bit here. When we come back to it, I will go and get that other painting and we'll look at it again just for comparison's sake. I think there are some other interesting comparisons. So other than characters that you are interested in, because everybody's going to have that in this painting, I think, what's your reaction? Does anybody else have a strong reaction, negative or positive? Or something that they are especially intrigued by, other than particular characters. Let's discuss that for a second. So, Christopher, please, what do you notice? What's your reaction?
Actually, it looks kind of like they're fighting.
Okay, so you're kind of wondering whether or not there's fighting going on here. So you find yourself kind of trying to decipher the image. Okay, yeah. Why do you think there's fighting going on?
Well, kind of looks like I thought that something was a crossbow or something.
So maybe you're spotting some weapons in the painting. Okay, but are they weapons that are being used?
I don't think so.
Okay, so maybe it has something to do with fighting, but there's no fighting going on as far as I can tell. So, right, but that's still a good clue here. All right, so I'm going to have you muted again. All right, Abby, what about you?
My first impression is that it seems kind of like a mask, and it looks like an argument to me. They're not fighting yet, but they are having an argument.
Perhaps. Well, I don't know if you can have an argument when nobody's mouth is open. Ha! So we'll have to see whether or not that's what it is or not. But maybe something like that. Okay. So, Dana, what about you?
They look like they're gonna have a war. So I don't like it. I hate wars.
Well, okay, so you feel negatively about it because you feel that this has something to do with a war. Okay, so that's all right. You know, that makes sense. So maybe, Dana, you'll feel a little bit better about this later on if you discover that that's not what's happening right now. So we'll see what happens. Okay, so, all right. So what I find in my reactions, what I'm noticing people saying here is that they find themselves drawn into the painting. Nobody said that out loud, but I'm interpreting what I hear from you. I find that you're all interested in it and that you are all kind of being little visual detectives, which is good because a painting like this has many interesting features that are worth detecting. And so I think the artist has succeeded in drawing you in, at least. And so now the question is, what is he showing us? And what does he have to say about it? What is this story? So we're going to get into that now. And the question of a story in a painting is very much like the question of a story in a novel. In a novel, the artist tells us who the main character or characters are. by dedicating a lot of words to their thoughts and actions. In a painting, an artist tells us who the main characters in the story are by setting them apart in other ways. So let's talk about that. What has the artist done here to make main characters? How many are there is question number one. How many main characters do you think there are? Is there only one? Somebody, if anybody's tempted to say one, I don't think so, but let's see. Let's have a quick show of hands. Who thinks there's only one main character in this painting? So, Christopher, you think there's only one main character. Which one do you think it is?
Well, maybe it's, one on the red horse, the white horse. Maybe.
Okay, hold on, Christopher, hold on. You tell you what, I need to give you some help here in figuring this out. So, there are different ways that artists create main characters in visual art. And so I'm going to let the other students kind of chime in here and give you a few of the different techniques that you can identify that will help you. Okay, so let's see what we can come up with here. So Abby, give me your answer and your reasons, please.
The attire of people, their posture, and their place in the painting.
So who is main character?
I think it might be either the woman on the white horse, because she has a straight posture and she has, I think, the biggest horse and she has a crown, or maybe the man on the brown horse who's dressed in red because he's in the middle.
All right, so we're on the right track here. So posture of the lady on the white horse, I don't think that's going to do it, because pretty much everybody has an erect posture in this painting. There's not a lot of slouching going on. So I'm not a big fan of posture as a way of telling characters apart. But she is on a beautiful white horse. That is a difference. So a main character is going to be different than the other characters. All right, I'm also going to say that she is in the foreground as opposed to in the background. So somebody like this little guy over here, he's not going to be a main character, right? Too small, he's way over in the background. The characters in the foreground are usually main characters. Okay, a character on a horse is going to be a more important person than a person on foot. So that is another thing, okay? And so this lady is becoming a candidate. Patrick, do you have a candidate for main character and a reason why?
My hand just went up. I didn't have a question.
Okay, well, that's not a question. It's an answer that I'm looking for. Caleb, go ahead. Main character selection and reason for it.
I think the, probably the lady on the white horse. She just looks kind of important.
Why?
Well, she has a crown, she has a really beautiful white horse.
Okay, let's try not to repeat too many things here. We've already established the white horse part. The crown, thank you, is useful. All right, so that's helping. She has a crown. Let's focus on new bits of information that you can contribute here. What about, okay, so we have a lady on a white horse with a crown, so she seems important, and she's in the foreground. Three good answers as to why she's important. Okay, is she the only one here? Do we have some alternatives? I need some more help. Wyatt, what about you?
I've got an idea.
Okay.
I think that the guy with the red cloak with those lions on it is our main character. He's the closest to us.
Okay, I'm going to say no to that one. Wyatt is saying that this character over here is a main character, but there are a number of reasons why not. One is that he's over in the corner of the painting when a fair amount of action is going on in the center, and he doesn't seem to have anything to do with it. And he is on foot. So he is not on a horse, which makes him less important than other people. He seems to be a character who is a supporting character, you could say. All right, so no, even though he is the closest to us, that is true, that one feature does not make him important by itself. We have to combine it with something else. Okay, what about one of the ways that we can tell who a main character is who is everybody looking at? Who is everybody looking at? So let me help you observe that on this painting. Watch. This character over here that Wyatt was just talking about, that nobody is looking at. Watch what we can say about him. Who's he looking at? Aha! This guy on the red horse, who's he looking at? Aha! This guy next to the horse, who's he looking at? Aha! This guy down here, who's he looking at? Aha! This guy who's supporting him, who's he looking at? Aha! This guy? Aha! Alright, how exaggerated can we make this? I believe that she also is looking in that direction. Right? Am I right? This is an interesting question about the lady. So, all of the characters are looking at one character in particular. My goodness. That is quite a clue, isn't it? That's a strong set of clues. So, if somebody is the center of attention, as somebody just chatted, right, that definitely is going to contribute to them being a main character. So, yeah, I'm going to say that in our list, we're going to have to include this man. We're going to have to include this man. Can anybody think of other reasons why the man on the black horse is a main character? Can you think of other reasons why? I think there are more reasons. So, Jeremy, go ahead.
I think it's a man on the black horse and a major.
What happened to your sound, Jeremy? Okay, hold on. One more try here. Go ahead. Don't touch any buttons.
I think the man on the black horse and the lady on the white horse are both two main characters.
Okay, fair enough, but I need some reasons why. This preference for main characters doesn't really help us to understand. We have to have reasons why, not just a feeling. So what's a reason, Patrick, that the black man on the black horse is the main character?
Well, I wanted to say something else.
Well, okay, look, we got to focus here, guys, because otherwise we're not getting... We have a complicated painting, and we can't just randomly talk about different things. So my job here is to guide you in the process. Put your hand down unless you have something to say about the man on the black horse, please. That is our current task. Abby, please.
I just wanted to say that he seems to be the leader of the group.
He seems to be the leader of a group. Okay, in fact, he is the only person on a horse on this side of the painting. There's a good answer. Everybody else is on foot. He's the only one on a horse on that side of a painting. So that makes him different. Okay, what else?
Patrick. I do have one part.
Go ahead.
Well, he does seem to look a little bit, he looks a little strong, that's all I pretty much have to say.
Alright, so there's something about him, he's an imposing character of sorts. I don't know, I don't find him to look that strong, but he does look different. He has a strange helmet, and kind of a strange outfit, a black outfit, so it's kind of weird. Okay, well, we're out of time for our character in black, so put your hands down about that. Let's clear the slate here. And I'm going to suggest that we do, as Nemo said, have three main characters, and that they're all on horseback, and I need some help identifying our final main character and what makes him important. And then we're going to go to Nemo's special observation concerning the previous painting compared to this one. Rosetta, please.
I think the third main character is the man on the red dress kind of horse next to the woman on the white horse.
Okay, so how would we describe... I want you guys to notice something about this painting. Is this a very colorful painting? What's the main color in this painting? The two main colors are gray and black. The muddy gray of the road and the blackness of the horse and the darkness of this clump of trees and the black of the outfits. It's a very gray and black painting. It's not a beautiful, colorful painting in that way. I mean, I like some of the blue in the sky. There's a little bit of a hint of green in the background. But what is the far and away the most colorful spot in the painting? And then we're going to go and talk about the previous painting, right? So what's the most colorful spot in the painting? That's not even really a difficult question, is it? It's almost exactly in the center. That's always powerful. When an artist puts something in the center, that's usually a very important clue. If he puts an object in the center and it is also the brightest colorful object in the entire painting, then he's drawing our attention there. Okay, so we have this character who's the most colorful character in the painting. This one over here that Wyatt was mentioning also has some red tights, but we can't see them very well and they're not very well lit. He has similar designs to the one on the horse on his outfit, but he's quite gray in his, he's kind of grayed out. He's in a part of the painting that's not very bright. So color and brightness are a feature of a main character as well. And now I want to go back to, pardon me for just a second as I strive to bring up an image that I think will be pretty cool if we bring it up here. So, because we've seen it recently. So, isn't it interesting that this was our last History Through Art painting? And what did the artist do to highlight the third main character? In the center of the painting, he placed a bright red object, the most colorful object in the painting, to highlight this warrior who's stepping away from the group. Look at that. And what did he do? He put a bright red object in the middle of the painting to highlight something. Patrick, what's your thought?
I just wanted to say, it seems like both paintings may have a very red connection.
Yeah, they have a connection, right? But the connection, we should just notice that is kind of a trick that the artist used, right? These are two different artists, but in a way, they kind of both know the same trick, don't they? They know that bright red is quite something to draw our attention. All right, in our remaining time, we're going to have to take a look at some of these main characters as quickly as we can here. And I'm going to switch to a detailed look at this man in the center. There we go. All right, I want you to tell me what you see. We are now hands down, unless it's a description of the man in red. Tell me what you see. Now, what we have to do is we have to talk about what he's doing, all kinds of things. Okay, and we have to be precise. Patrick?
Well, there was something that I didn't notice, but when you made him look a little closer, it seems like he may have some kind of crown on his part of his
hat.
Yeah,
his hat seems to include a kind of crown design as well. It's like a half hat, half crown. Very good. Okay, that's a good observation. Jeremy, what else?
I didn't notice before, but his horse has some armor, and I think he's holding a scroll of some kind.
He seems to be holding a scroll. Is that a scroll or is it a baton? I think it's a kind of stick. I think it's a kind of baton. So I'm not sure if it's a scroll, but it's interesting. Either way, it's an interesting object that nobody else has one like that. Okay, Abby, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it doesn't seem like he's holding on to his horse.
These are the reins right here. So he's holding on to the baton and this set of reins at the same time. Okay? Now, what about the action that he is taking that we can see mostly here? What is he doing? Abby, you want to answer? Go ahead.
He looks like he's about to hit something or catch something.
Hit? I'm not keen on the idea that he's about to hit. What we can say is that his right arm is slightly extended and that his fingers are splayed. His hand is open, in other words, slightly, with his fingers reaching out in a certain, out in front of him. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, he may not be so much looking like this, but if you look close up, he may kind of look a little like in a certain way on the face, like a little serious.
Yeah, okay, good. His facial expression is serious. We can zoom in on that even more. I think that will be useful. So let's zoom in on that and look at the facial expression along with the gesture. Okay. Let's talk about the facial expression. It is a serious one. Okay, so there's no smile, so that would be serious. What else can we say about the facial expression, Sigourney?
Well, I was going to say he looks like a king and he has a hat-like crown and he is dressed very nicely.
All right, well, we've said that. Jeremy, go ahead. Jeremy's having sound issues today. Rosetta, go ahead.
I think he's the only person who's not looking at the man in the black horse.
He's not looking at the man in the black horse?
No, because I think he's definitely looking down.
Well, that's interesting. The gaze is slightly downward, so I appreciate that. And therefore, if he's not looking at the face, I wonder if we can combine that with the gesture and figure out something. So we're going to take this important observation of Rosetta's and combine it. I'm going to move this detail over here, and we're going to keep it kind of in our field of view. And then we're going to bring up, I forget which one it is that I want. So give me a second here. No, we don't need both of those characters. I think we need this one. Aha! So, we're kind of doing a dual panel look here at our two main characters. Maybe all of a sudden we have some sense of what's going on if we describe them together like this. What do we see, Abby?
The man in red seems to be looking down at the man in black's hands, and the man who's in black looks like he's holding something.
Yeah, he is indeed holding something. So the question is, what is it that he is holding? Indeed. Now, he is looking at the man in red, is he not? Hopefully we can agree on that. So he's looking at the man in red, but what is his expression? Also serious, right? Not angry, not, his eyes are definitely wide open, but not the kind of wide open of surprise. Surprise would be wider than that. And if you wanted to create surprise, Dana, what would you have to add to open eyes?
Mouth.
A mouth that's open as well. And here we have a mouth that is tight. It's closed, right? So doesn't quite go with surprise, but it's definitely intense. It's definitely serious. Okay, so what about the hand? Does anybody know what is he holding in his hand? Jennifer.
Well,
Like some kind of crossbow or like a weapon or something?
Nope, not that. Not a crossbow or weapons. Way too small for that. Patrick, you have a guess?
Well, it may be a key.
Maybe a key. Very interesting. All right, we are over time, so we're going to stop with the idea that maybe the man is holding a key. It's not a weapon, okay? It's a key. We're going to back out now and go to our main scene once again and just kind of pull back and look at it once again. It's too much LOLing going on. I think we need to have a rule in this class that LOL is off limits. Okay? I don't think that it helps at all. It's fine to be laughing, but I don't think that it helps anybody to have the LOL flashing on their screen. So, let's pull back here with no more chatting and just take this in for a final impression rather than a first impression. Okay? We've been analyzing this. We've been looking at a man in red, who now we suspect is not reaching, is not looking at the man in black, but rather looking at the object that he is interested in and also reaching forward towards the object. Aha. That is a very good identification for us to stop with for today. Our action centers around an object that seems to be perhaps moving from left to right and which is the center of attention in some sense. We know the man holding it is the man that people are watching, but also that he is holding a key and that it seems like he is in motion, right? We can see that this man is moving across on his horse and that they are coming together in the center of the painting and the man in the red is reaching for it. Okay. All right, that's good for today. In our second effort next time, we will also talk about the lady on the white horse. She definitely deserves some attention, so we'll pay attention to her. And then we will look at the other characters who perhaps deserve some attention as well. And we'll come up with a final summary of what it is that we are seeing. And then I will endeavor to reveal what it is that this painting represents that has to do with American history. It's definitely quite a moment relating to American history. Okay, folks, thank you for your efforts today. Good luck with your ongoing test preparation. Tomorrow we will resolve any lingering questions or issues of test prep as we go through your homework answers to the test preparation sheets. So good luck with that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now, everybody.
Bye, Mr. Carr.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.